good to be here with you again. I appreciate always the opportunity and the privilege to be able to come to a church and the pastor open up the pulpit that the Lord has reserved for him. And I appreciate being able to be here today. And I want to get right into the Word of God this morning. And so I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. I wasn't trying to be the bearer of bad news last night when I was talking with Brother Kroll when he was driving me back from the airport last night. I asked him how he and his family was doing. I asked him how the church was doing, and boy, just overwhelmed my heart in blessing. Just think about all that God has done, not only with his family but the church here, and just the goodness of the Lord that he shared with me. And I wasn't trying to be the bearer of bad news whatsoever, and I'm not being the bearer of bad news right now either. But the last few months, boy, been some difficult days personally in our family's life. And to be completely honest with you this morning, the message that I'm going to teach and preach in Sunday school for this hour, I've preached messages like this for these last 16 years on the road in evangelism. But just being completely transparent with you this morning, for the last 16 years, it's been easy preaching. But the last few months, it's been a little bit of hard living. And, you know, here's the reality today, that there nowhere in the Bible will you ever find that just because you and I are a child of God that we won't go through trials and tribulations and storms of life. We're not going to find that in the Bible. But I will say this, that even those storms and troubles and trials come, if you're a blood-bought child of God, we're not going through it by ourselves. Amen. I'm glad that God's there every step of the way. The question today is not, will you and I go through difficult times? The question is, what will we do when we do go through the difficult times of life? I do know this, it's not time to quit. It's not time to throw in the towel. It's not time to recant of all that we've lived for in times past. It's just time to put our pegs down and say, I'm going to continue to serve God. I'm going to continue to live for God. I'm going to continue to go on for God even though I go through difficult days of life. It was the Tuesday night before Thanksgiving, just a few months ago. I was in the motel room and I was getting ready, and the preacher was going to pick me up at the motel in about 5 minutes. And my phone began to ring, and when I looked at the phone, it said Mama on the phone. It's not anything unusual for my mom to call me before church, so just let me know that she was praying for me and she hoped that if anybody was lost, they would get saved in the service. It was not anything unusual to get that phone call before church. But when I answered the phone, my mom called me and she said, Chris, she said, I can't believe, first of all, that she called me. I thought it might be my dad after I heard what she told me. But she said, Chris, she said, I was at the doctor's office today just having a routine checkup. And the doctor told me that I was having a heart attack and I need to get to the hospital immediately. She said, I'm asking you to pray for me. And come to find out, her heart was in AFib. And boy, she was just going through some difficult times physically during those days. And I was in Pennsylvania, or I was in Ohio preaching, and flew into Pittsburgh. And the preacher picked me up and we prayed there in the parking lot of the motel. And then we got to church. I preached, and then the church prayed for my mom after the service that night. And boy, it was a long night, just to be honest with you, just tossing and turning, not even really getting any sleep, and couldn't get on the plane quick enough to get back to Lexington. And my plan was to get my vehicle and drive to Memphis. And my dad called me and he said, Chris, he said, why don't you just stay at home for right now? And he said, if anything changes, he said, I'll let you know if you need to come here or not. So I stayed there on Wednesday night. My wife, for the last 4 or 5 years, she's been the cook there at our Bible college in Lexington. And she, for the last 4 or 5 years, we've stayed there on Thanksgiving Day. And she's cooked the meals for the kids that can't go home because of work schedules or not. And I've partaken of that as well, not cooking, but eating, amen. But anyway, I've stayed there, and we both have stayed there and done that. And And as we went there and ate lunch with the college kids that remained there in Lexington during the Thanksgiving holiday, after I ate lunch, my wife looked at me across the table and she said, "Chris," she said, "I know that you're here physically, but your heart's in Memphis where your mom and dad's at, isn't it?" And I said, "It is." She said, "Well, won't you just let me pack up some food?" And she said, "Won't you just take it to Memphis there at the hospital? At least they won't have to eat hospital food." And so we packed up some to-go boxes and I went to Memphis and we got to, I got there and I was able to spend some time with mom and dad. And my dad is going through the early stages of dementia. And any of you that have ever dealt with that, you know, you have your good days and you have your bad days. And my dad had definitely had several bad weeks. And so we made the arrangements with my older sister and I I would call my mom every morning at 9 o'clock. My sister would call her every afternoon at 5 o'clock. And, just so we could keep that, communication with my mom and dad and just to see how they're doing every day. And that lasted for about 2.5 or 3 weeks. And after about 3 weeks, there was about a 48-hour period where we didn't hear from my mom or my dad. My sister and I began to get worried and we called a nephew, to go and, check on my mom and my dad. And my nephew knocked on the door, front door, the back door, couldn't get anybody to come to the door. And finally he found a window that was open there in their house. He was able to get inside that window. My dad was just there in the living room, didn't even realize anybody was knocking on the door. And my nephew walked back to my parents' bedroom and my mom was there in the bed. And she wasn't unconscious, but she was definitely knocking on death's door. My nephew called 911, the ambulance come to get my mom. And come to find out, her heart was not only an AFib, but she had had a stroke. And sepsis was running through her entire body. And pneumonia was 100% in her right lung. My wife and I were in Columbus, Ohio at that particular time, Christmas shopping with some friends. And we rushed to Lexington to pack her bags and to get to Memphis as quickly as we could. And as soon as we walked in the door, there in Memphis or there in Lexington at our home, the charge nurse called me and she said, "Mr. Dallas," she said, "if you want to see your mom alive," she said, "you might as well go ahead and come to Memphis right now." My wife and I got in the vehicle, and as we got in the vehicle, one of the very first things that I had to take care of when we got on the road was, that was on a Friday night when that particular time was, and so I had a revival meeting started that Sunday, and I was flying to Richmond, Virginia, and I had to call the airlines to cancel the flights to go to Richmond. And as I called the airlines, I began to tell the lady I need to cancel my flight tomorrow. And I've had to cancel flights before, and I've never had this happen. I've never had them ask me, "Mr. Dallas, why do you need to cancel your flight?" I've never had them ask me that. And when the Delta Airlines representative asked me that question, I told her that my mom was all the physical trouble that she was having. I said, "Ma'am, I've got to get to Memphis. I'm not even sure my mom's going to make it through the night." I've never had them ask me why I need to cancel the flight, but I did sure have never had them had a representative tell me this next thing or ask me this next question. She said, "Mr. Dallas, do you mind if I pray with you?" And I said, "No, ma'am." I said, "I don't mind you praying with me at all." She didn't know that I was a Christian. She didn't know that I was a preacher. She didn't even know I was a dog catcher or what I was. She just said, "Do you mind if I pray with you?" And in her prayer, she said, "Lord, would you let Mr. Dallas know that he's not going through this by himself?" And I believe with all my heart, the Lord used a Delta Airlines representative to not only remind this preacher, but to remind this Christian that no matter what trouble or trial or difficulty we go through in life, that we don't have to go through this by ourselves. And as we canceled 6 weeks worth of meetings, and you know how your phone tracks your steps every day, 7.5 miles a day that I average walking the hallways of that hospital and around the parking lots of that hospital there, And I'm happy to tell you now, almost 3.5 months later, that my mom's back at home now, and God did spare her life, amen, and God got my mom out of the hospital. But those 6 weeks there that we were there at the hospital and walking the parking lots of the hospital, I'm glad that God reminded me of that prayer that Delta Airlines representative said that night, that no matter how many steps I take, no matter what difficulty, no matter what trouble or trial that I go through, I'm glad that I don't have to go through any step by myself, amen. And I'm here to testify to you today, child of God. I don't know what difficulty you've gone through. I don't know what difficulty you're going through right now, but I'm glad that we don't have to go through any step by ourselves, amen. I'm glad He's there every step of the way. It was just a couple of weeks ago, I was preaching in Brighton, Illinois. And I just made the statement the very night before, in a revival service, that every single one of us are just one phone call away from our entire world being turned upside down. I just made that statement. I'd gotten through preaching that next night on that Monday night. I didn't know this. I always turn my phone on Do Not Disturb when I'm preaching. And I did not know this, but the whole time that I was preaching, my brother-in-law in Chattanooga, Tennessee, was calling me. And as I got through with church that night, I walked out to the parking lot to get to my truck. I turned my phone off at Do Not Disturb. I saw all the missed phone calls, and I saw the text message from my brother-in-law, Brad, in Chattanooga. He said, "Chris, as soon as you get this message, I need you to call me." I thought it had to do with my mom or dad, but little did I know that their 24-year-old daughter that very night had told my sister a few hours before, "I'm going to go up to the bedroom and I'm going to rest for an hour." And my sister went and checked on her an hour later to wake her up and to tell her that supper was ready. And little did I know that she had gone home to be with the Lord, my 24-year-old niece. I'm going to share her testimony. She was a good godly Christian, has had health problems for the last 8 years. Can I say, child of God, I didn't come to be the bearer of bad news today. But I did say this again, every single one of us are just one phone call away from our entire world being turned upside down. I don't know what difficulty you may face before the sun comes up tomorrow, but I am here to tell you that I'm glad as a child of God we don't have to go through them alone. Amen. I'm glad that He's there every step of the way. Now, to the Bible, that is, I may not have all the answers to all of life's questions, but I'm glad I hold a book in my hand that does have all the answers to all of life's questions. Amen. Turn your Bibles to John chapter number 14 this morning. I'm glad that when I find myself getting overwhelmed in life's troubles, I'm glad that God is never overwhelmed with my problems. Amen. John chapter 14, look at verse number 16. John chapter 14, look at verse number 16. This is Jesus speaking here, and He said, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Look at verse number 25. "The Bible says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. And Lord, we certainly thank you, Lord, that you love us far more than we'll ever love you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, not only for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, but Lord, I certainly thank you, Lord, even more so today than I ever have before. I thank you for the comforting power of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I don't know who this message may be a help to today, but Lord, I pray, Lord, that you allow the message that you gave me personally, I pray that you allow the message to publicly be a help to the dear folks of Beth Haven Baptist Church, either, Lord, right now in the present, but Lord, or maybe, Lord, to somebody or a few somebodies here today, Lord, it could be a help to those in the future. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. In your precious name I pray, amen. We find here that the setting for this teaching by Jesus Christ himself on the Holy Spirit, he's teaching this lesson in the upper room in Jerusalem. We find that Jesus is in that upper room spending the last hours that he will ever have with his apostles before his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We find that Jesus is covering the major topics that these apostles will need to grasp before his death and filling them with the truths that will help them through the upcoming trials that they're about to face. We find the greatest help for the believers, I believe with all my heart, other than being saved by the grace of God and other than having the Word of God as a lamp in our feet and a light in our path, I believe that one of the greatest gifts that the child of God will ever receive is the very person of God, the Holy Spirit. And I believe this morning, before we speak on the topic of the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, I want to preface my statement so they can be understood in the proper context. As a child of God that is saved by the grace of God, that if we have a biblical worldview, we don't wake up every morning with the mindset that the only reason that God exists is to make our life happy and to make our life satisfied and to make our life at peace. Now, can I say this morning, I didn't know what happiness was all about. I didn't know what satisfaction was all about. I had no idea what peace was all about until I was saved by the grace of God. But that's not the only reason that God exists, just to make our life happy, just to make our life satisfied, just to make our life peaceful. The Bible teaches that we were created by God for His pleasure and for His glory. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." And as a born-again believer, we must learn to turn over the control of our life and depend on the Lord to lead us and to guide us and to direct us. The question this morning is not, as a child of God, is not, do I have the Holy Spirit? You understand, my friend, there wasn't a waiting period. There wasn't a proving time. The very moment that you and I called on Jesus Christ to save our soul, that very moment the Holy Spirit of God came to indwell within us. So the question this morning is not, do I, as a child of God, have the Holy Spirit? The question is, does the Holy Spirit have full control of us? And when you and I do not allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and to control us, that can become a great struggle for those of us that are saved. Because when things don't go the way that we plan them to go, there are times that a child of God can get angry. We can get frustrated with God when things don't go the way that we planned or the way that we expected them to turn out. And with the wrong mindset, many a times we can begin to point an accusing finger at God and say, "God, I'm not happy. You promised that I would be happy when I got saved." But may we be reminded, we were created to please God. And not for God to be at our beck and call just to make us happy, just to make us comfortable, just to give us a life without disappointment, death, trauma, or tragedy. And as Bible believers, we believe that God created us for a purpose, and God has a will for every one of our lives. And may we be reminded, God does allow some things to come in our lives to test us and to strengthen us. And because we were created with the free will, God does tolerate some things until He comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We do not believe in fate. We don't believe in luck. We don't believe in chance. We believe that there's a greater purpose for all things and for life. And so the context for what I mean when I say that one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to comfort the believer. Webster Dictionary defines comfort as this: as a relief from pain or an uneasiness of body. Comfort is an ease and a quietness of mind when we're distressed. Comfort is that which gives us strength or support in distress, difficulty, danger, or infirmity. And I'm glad that God offers that to the child of God through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. May we be reminded this morning, child of God, it's not the absence of pain. It's not the absence of struggle. It's not the absence of tragedy. But it's a comfort to help strengthen us and support us while fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. Look at John chapter 14. Look at verse number 16 with me. Jesus said this. First of all, we see the promise of the Holy Spirit. He said in verse number 16, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." Can we also be reminded that the devil is a liar, and he's the father of lies? But I'm thankful that when God gives us a promise, you can take that promise to the bank, because God is coming through with that promise. Amen. And God promises the Holy Spirit here in John chapter number 14. When Jesus Christ physically left the apostles, He promised them a physical replacement. That replacement is the Holy Spirit of God, or another name for the Holy Spirit. His name is Comforter. The word Comforter refers to someone to run to our side and to pick us up. That's what Jesus did while He was physically here on earth. He continues that ministry in 1 John chapter 2 in verse number 1. The Bible says, "My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." That word advocate, that's the same word that is translated as Comforter in the Gospel of John. Jesus was the one who ran to our side. Now, Jesus is back in heaven, and He sends the Holy Spirit to do for us what He did while He was here on earth. Jesus is still our Comforter. The Holy Spirit is not a substitute, but an additional one to run to our side. When I was a younger preacher, I said the word younger because I still refer to myself as a young preacher, amen. But when I was a younger preacher, I used to say that the Holy Spirit, I used to refer to Him as the third person of the Godhead. But that almost belittles God the Holy Spirit, because can we all be reminded that God the Holy Spirit is just as much God as God the Father and God the Son, and thank God He lives inside of us if we're saved by the grace of God. Amen. The Holy Spirit is not a substitute. I'm thankful He's just an additional one to run our side and to pick us up in difficulties. Amen. Not only do we see the promise of the Holy Spirit, I've got to hurry, but number two, look at verse number 17. We see the people designated for the Holy Spirit. Look at verse number 17. The Bible says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." That we see the people designated for the Holy Spirit. Those people that are designated by Christ as being the recipient of the Holy Spirit of God are those that are born again believers. those that are saved by the grace of God. I don't know your testimony. I don't know your story. But I do know this. There's nothing different in you than it was in me before I met the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Before any man meets Christ as their Savior, they have an empty void inside of them. I don't know what you try to fill your empty void with. I know what I try to fill my empty void with. Everything this world had to offer. And can I say this morning, there's nothing this world can offer that can fill that empty void. The only one that can fill that empty void is Jesus Christ Himself. That's why we see so many Hollywood movie stars and so many sports athletes end up in rehab and commit suicide and their life is a mess. I'll tell you why. Because the riches of this world and the fame of this world and the popularity of this world cannot fill that empty void. The only one that can fill that empty void is Jesus Christ Himself. And that's why if you're here this morning in this Sunday school hour and you don't know Christ as your Savior, my friend, that's why you ought to be saved by the grace of God. Why? Because not only does Jesus come to live in your heart, but the Holy Spirit fills that empty void to comfort you through the difficulties of life. Amen. Not only the promise of the Holy Spirit, but then number two, we see the people designated for the Holy Spirit. Look at verse number 18. Jesus said this. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's a great promise, isn't it? I see number three, we see the provision of the Holy Spirit. You understand, the Holy Spirit provides the born-again believer comfort as a relief from pain or uneasiness of body. The Christian life is not lived in absence of what we consider trouble, trauma, or tragedy. But the Holy Spirit comforts us in life as we live to please God and to fulfill His purpose. You know what the word grief means? Grief is the loss of something that we once had. You understand? Job knew what it was to grieve, didn't he? Job lost all of his flock. Job lost all of his finances. Job lost all of his family in one day. Job knew what it was to grieve. And my friend, you and I may not go through what Job went through and lost all that Job lost, but can I tell you the grief is still just as much hard, it's just as hard to bear as it was in Job's life when you and I lose something that we once had. But I'm thankful for the provision of the Holy Spirit, and I'm thankful that He gives us that comfort in the days of difficulty. Amen. But sadly and tragically, many that are saved by the grace of God, they go through life without ever experiencing the comfort that is available to them because they either ignore or they neglect the Holy Spirit of God and they do not utilize the gifts that God has given the Holy Spirit to bring comfort in our lives. How many of you like receiving gifts? Amen. How many of you like receiving gifts? I went over to the Philippines back in October, and I do want to say thank you, church, for sending the love offering to help us get over there to the Philippines. But I was over there in September, October of last year, and they were already playing Christmas music on the loudspeakers in the malls. And I think my wife called over there and told them to do that to remind me not to forget Christmas, to give her the gifts at Christmas time. Amen. We all like receiving gifts, but I'm thankful that God has given the Holy Spirit gifts to place in mind in your life to bring comfort in our lives. Amen. And I want to talk about those gifts these last few minutes of Sunday school. Now, I just want to make sure I'm not on a lonely island by myself. I'm not the only one of God's children here this morning that's ever gone through difficult times in the Christian life. Anybody else ever gone through difficult times? We all go through difficult times. You may be here this morning. You may be a young person or a young married couple. Say, Brother Dallas, I've been saved for such and such length of time, and I've never gone through a difficult time. I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news, but you hang on, because difficult times will come. And I'll testify to you like that Delta Airlines representative testified to me, child of God, when we go through the difficult times, we don't have to go through them by ourselves. He's there every step of the way. Let me talk about the gifts that God has given the Holy Spirit. Look at Romans chapter 15 with me. Look at Romans in chapter 15 with me. Look at Romans in chapter number 15. Can I say, first of all, the first gift that God has given the Holy Spirit to bring comfort in our lives is the Word of God. Amen. It's the Word of God. Look at Romans chapter 15. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, or what was written aforetime, the Word of God, were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Amen. And I'm glad that one of the tools that the Holy Spirit uses to ease and to quiet our minds when we're troubled and give us strength or support in distress, difficulty, danger, and disease is the Word of God. Child of God, can I say this morning, when you and I neglect to read the Bible, what we are doing is we're robbing ourselves of an opportunity to receive comfort from the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, many Christians neglect their Bible reading during those times when they need the strength of the Comforter. Can I say, child of God, when we lose a loved one and we say goodbye on this side of eternity, or we go through a difficult time, or we go through a trouble, or we go through a trial, can I tell you, my friend, it's time to turn Oprah off. It's time to turn Dr. Phil off. Matter of fact, never turn them on. Amen. Find out what it is to get in the Word of God and let the Word of God bring comfort in our lives. Amen. I believe with all my heart this morning, that same Bible that had power to bring conviction upon our heart and save us by the grace of God is the same Bible that has power to calm the storms of our life as well. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 119. Look at Psalm 119. I don't believe some of you are picking up what I'm dropping off, so we're going to read the entire Psalm right now. Amen. Psalm 119, look at verse number 49 with me, just making sure you're paying attention. Look at verse number 49. The psalmist said, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The psalmist also said, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The psalmist also said, it was good that I was afflicted, that I may draw nigh to God. I remember when our entire country was being shut down in the spring of 2020 and 10 meetings were completely wiped off my calendar. I remember many mornings that preacher and I, before the sun would come up, we would share different Bible truths that God gave us in our Bible that morning. And I remember sharing the truth with him one morning, and I said, preacher, I said, I've read that scripture time and time again, and I never saw the truth quite like I saw it today. And he said, Brother Dallas, he said, many times God doesn't give us the truth until we go through the trial, amen? And I'm glad that Bible's quick. I'm glad that it's alive, and I'm glad it's powerful, and I'm thankful that it will help us through the difficult days of life, amen? Not only the Word of God, but look at Acts chapter number 9. Look at Acts in chapter number 9. I'm glad that not only does God use the Word of God, but number two, I'm thankful God uses the house of God to bring comfort. I'm thankful that God uses the house of God to bring comfort. We're going to read verse number 31, but think about it with me over here in Acts chapter number 9. We call that the beginning of the chapter. We call that the Damascus Road experience, where Saul of Tarsus got saved by the grace of God. And God puts two men in Paul's life, Ananias and Barnabas, to take him back to Jerusalem. But you understand, as they're coming down the road, those folks that are living there, They still know him as Saul of Tarsus. They didn't know that he'd gotten saved by the grace of God. They still knew him as the one that would throw men, women, boys, and girls in prison. They still knew him as the one that persecuted that early church. But look what the Holy Spirit did in their hearts and in their lives. Look at verse number 31. The Bible says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Can I say, my friend, I understand there's times when we go to the house of God, we're going through troubles and trials and storms of life, and one of the hardest things to do is to leave the house and come to the church house and carry a Bible in our arm and somehow muster up a smile on our face. But can I tell you, it's not time to stay at home when we go through difficult days. It's time to just continue to be at the house of God and let the house of God bring comfort in our lives. Amen. I wonder how many times the Holy Spirit was trying to comfort us in our time of need. But we didn't think we could go to church while we were struggling with the news from the doctor or the heartache of a family situation. Can I say, my friend, if we're not experiencing the comfort that God has promised, then we might not be availing ourselves to the gifts that that God has given the Holy Spirit to bring us comfort. Not only the Word of God, not only the house of God, but number three, turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I'm almost finished. God uses the Word of God. God uses the house of God. Number three, I'm thankful that God uses the man of God to bring comfort. Look at Isaiah 40. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. You see, the Jewish captives in Babylon needed hope and comfort because of the chastening hand of God on their lives because of sin. And the instrument through which God is going to administer comfort is through the preaching of Isaiah. I believe far too many of us as God's children, we don't realize the importance of preaching. It's something that many of God's people think that we can get by without. And what we're really doing is we're robbing ourselves of an opportunity for God to administer comfort in our lives. Child of God, can I say, you ever thought about this? How many of us are saved by the grace of God? Raise your hand good and high. You're saved by the grace of God, so you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. You ever thought about this? You go through a difficult time. You may be discouraged. You may even be up on the brinks of depression. And you may never tell your spouse. You may never tell a dear friend. You may never even tell the preacher the difficult time you're going through. But have you ever thought about this, my friend? The same Holy Spirit of God that lives in you is the same Holy Spirit of God that lives in the preacher. And as the preacher's on his knees and he specifically prays for you and your family, and he opened up the Word of God, he asked God to lay on his heart the exact message to preach to the church on Sunday. You understand, the Holy Spirit that knows the difficult time you're going through is the same Holy Spirit of God that can lay the exact message on his heart to preach. But child of God, can I say, it cannot help us if we're not here to receive the preaching of the Word of God. A couple of weeks ago, as I was there in Chattanooga, the hardest funeral that I've ever preached in my life was my 24-year-old niece, Brianna. Brianna, my wife and I don't have children, and Brianna and her sister Hannah are like daughters to my wife and I. They've traveled many summers with us across the country. And as I stayed on Sunday just to be there with my family, I saw my brother-in-law in his place leading singing. Absolutely the worst song leader you've ever heard in your life, my brother-in-law. Sounds like Kermit the Frog singing, amen. But on Sunday, he became my favorite song leader I ever heard in my life. On Sunday, I saw my niece, Hannah, at the piano in her place, playing the piano. My preacher uses an illustration. He says, a weightlifter, they don't stay out of the gym and get stronger. They have to go to the gym to get stronger. Child of God, you and I don't get stronger through the storms outside the work of God. We get stronger inside the work of God. And lastly, and I'll finish, I'll just give it to you. You can look up the text later on, Philippians chapter 2, verse number 19 through 21. I'm thankful the gifts that God's given the Holy Spirit to bring comfort. The Word of God, the house of God, the man of God, and I'm thankful that God has given the family of God to bring. Aren't you thankful for the family of God? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Somebody ought to write a song about that, amen. I'm thankful. I'm glad that I could leave Lexington, Kentucky. I'm glad that I can come all the way. I was calling it Sunfield, Michigan, and Brother Cole's been making fun of me ever since. This is Sheridan, Michigan that we're in right now. I'm glad that I can come, and whether you knew it or not, I'm your brother from another mother. Amen. We're a part of the family of God, and it just encourages me to be around the family of God. And I'm glad that the family of God can bring comfort when we go through difficulties of life. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, I don't know if I made sense at all this morning, but I do know that you've helped me with these truths, especially in these last 3 months. I've preached messages like this all across the country, but dear God, it's never been as near and dear to my heart as it is right now. And Lord, I don't know. I saw the folks walk in today. They had Bibles tucked under their arms. They had smiles on their faces, but Lord, I'm not so narrow-minded and so naive to realize there are some here this morning that saw the importance of being in church, but when they leave here in just a little while, they're facing some real difficulties. Dear God, I pray, dear Spirit of God, that you would administer that comfort that they need. Lord, we're not going to get over the difficulties, but we can get through the difficulties. And Lord, we'll give you all the honor and glory for what you do. Bless the service to come, and we'll thank you for all that you do. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you.